Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the midweek rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Now this is Triple M Footy's midweek rub, exclusive on the Listener app once again. And as we speak on this Wednesday afternoon, I look around the room and I see on my left, hello, Daisy Damo, and a very nice looking Wayne Carey. Joey, today. Hello, Duck.
Hello, gentlemen.
This excites what's me, different? Joey. What's this different? Excites me.
You don't normally dress up that way. You always smell nice, but you don't dress up this. You don't dress up this nice.
You usually come in a full night kit, or you're going somewhere and you've got a tight little black number on.
There are positives to not getting your shoulder done.
You are excited. You're up and about.
Now, I've got a Mark Boris. Mark Boris, it is. Yeah. Yes, of course it is. Going to listen
Boris?
To him.
Yeah,
Boris. Anyway.
That guy. Yellow Brick Road.
Tomato. Going to listen to a talk that he has on in Sydney. I'm a part of a little bit of background stuff.
Right.
But very interested to have a listen to, you know.
Just up and back in the day?
Was going to be, but then a couple of other things fell into place.
I love the dynamic of this show too, Joey. We're all our own people and we do our own things and we've got our own ways, but ultimately we just revolve around Duck, don't we?
We
got the text message in the group sent about an hour ago. Hey, boys, I've got a flight. Get here now.
Don't be late.
And guess what? We're all here in 5 minutes.
And he's rushing us through the show. He's like, come on, I've got to get to the airport.
I tell you what, there's a lot on the agenda.
There is plenty on the agenda. A lot of footy. Anything, Daisy, you got?
Oh, I'm just intrigued by that jacket you're wearing, Duck.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Is that say your name on the inside of it?
It doesn't, does it?
When's the Mark Brewer's when's the Mark Brewer's
tomorrow.
Talk?
Tomorrow.
So how come you're so dressed up today then?
Because
Hang on. You said you were going up for this talk. Yes, that's tomorrow. Why have you got your...
I'm not wearing this outfit. This is my airport outfit.
Normally the airport days you wear the comfortable tracky pants and you wear a t-shirt. You try and get comfortable on a flight.
If you're the best, dress like the best.
If the jacket you're going to be wearing tomorrow, Duck, does it too have your name inscribed?
Yes,
is that what it was?
Joey, he's got his name.
It says Duck above the...
It says Duck.
It actually says
inside.
You know why?
Why?
Lost and found. If it gets lost, then I know it's mine. So no one can pinch it.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll whip through this show. There is, as you said, plenty of footy news to talk about. We will get into it. We'll have a look at some plenty of action from the weekend. Damo, you've got plenty of news that we're going to touch on.
Lots to get through with a couple of massive names who are one's re-emerging in a headline sense and one's always been in the headlines, but might be involved at another club at some stage.
Right, we'll get into it. We'll take a break. We'll come back because we are going to chat all the news and have a look at the Daisy Duck Dive, of course, and the weekend's footy as well. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Most teams that I've been in have all been pretty good.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub and Damo. As we said, there's plenty of news going on this week.
Yeah, we'll start with James Hird, Joey. For the first time since 2015, when he was removed as Essendon coach, that was a year after the AFL ban for the drug saga, has now got himself back into a footy role, and it's been a part-time role, Dark, about a day and a half on average for the GWS Giants. For nine games to this point. And I know you've got really strong views. I want you to repeat those views because I think it's all part of this conversation. But we get to the stage where Leon Cameron's been taken out of the mix as coach, and Mark McVeigh, James Hird's great mate, is taking over. Out of nowhere, Dean Solomon, also part of the old Essendon band, has been pitchforked into an assistant coaching role for the interim capacity of Mark McVeigh. And the release last night, on Tuesday night, came from the club that James Hird is also going to be stepping up in the role that he's had to this point. So you've got McVeigh, Solomon, Hird. There are others involved. This conditioning of James Hird being brought back into the system has really been ramped up in the past week since Leon Cameron went. And to me, it is a form of audition for what could lie ahead. Now, I'm not saying he's a lock, but he has got a very close relationship with Dave Matthews, the CEO, who will have as much say over what happens in that space as anyone.
I'm all for a second chance. I think it's great that he's back at Clubland and
100%.
Gets a chance to rectify some things that he obviously did horrifically wrong before. Is it, though, he is that much of a candidate, or is it one journo in particular who is well and truly feet in the middle of the back, pushing him forward at every chance?
Look, I know the one you're referring to, and I'd rather not mention that guy's name because there's no point. But in terms of what he's doing at GWS days, it is, look, he's had a day and a half to this point of the season. It's going to be more concerted and more involved from this point onwards.
Is that not just to help his mate, Mark McVeigh, who's going to need some experience because he's never coached before,
yeah.
just to help him with a bit more understanding of what it takes to coach rather than him putting his hand up, James Hurd, to say, oh, I'm ready to coach again?
I don't think he's putting his hand up just yet, but I think it's a step in that possible direction. Now, Duck, you are very strong. You were very strong on this show last week when his name was out there, that you just don't think he's right for a senior job the way he's been in the system.
Not because anything to do with second chance. I'm all for second chance. But if it was 2 years... maybe 3 years after that all happened. So 2 or 3 years out of the game, but remained close to the game. So still watched every Friday night or every Saturday or every Sunday or still involved in some way, but watching the game religiously, I would say, yeah, okay, that sounds reasonable. But a guy that has stepped away, had been out of the game other than this year for 9 games part-time for 7 years, and to think that he could step back in to senior coaching, being away from the game, which has evolved unbelievably. It evolves every year, let alone every 7 years, I think is just ridiculous. I love the fact we're bringing his name up. I love Hurdy. We get along really well. I want him to get back into the game because he's a great football person. He's a champion player. But what if he was to say, come back in, and whoever did get the GWS job and he said, okay, I now want to step up and be an assistant again and do that for another couple of years, and picks it up really well, as he probably would because he reads the game really well, then you say, okay, Hurdy, now maybe back into the senior coaching role, but not in this manner. And for me, I mean, if you want to go for guys that have been out of the game, you'd be looking at guys like Mick Malthouse and guys that have coached 3 or 4 premierships and say, okay, well, would you consider coming back? That's how sort of ridiculous it is.
Yeah. The redemption component to it, it's actually already been in place. I mean, I think people forget that Essendon had him back as coach after the ban. And people forget that. But that ultimately Essendon then moved him out again. Didn't even complete that first season back. That was 2015. And to your point, that's a long time ago now. So there's no need for the AFL to provide permission for anyone to ask for James Hurd to come back in. He's allowed to come back, and he's already been back in. And I'm like you, Duck. I'm glad he's had the second chance already and is exploring options. But look, it's an interesting topic. I'm not sitting here saying he's going to get the job, but it's moved significantly since the official removal of Leon Cameron.
Yeah, how hard are they going for Clarko? Is that where you see it?
I'm not convinced it's a done deal, yeah. And I'm not... Joey, you're the best list analyzer on this group. Yeah. What do you see in that particular... You think you are, Daisy. What do you see? I'm not convinced it's in as good a shape as some people think this GWS list.
No, I'm the opposite, Dame. I did some numbers. They've still got, like, I think 25 top 30 draft picks on their list.
Yeah, what does that mean, though?
But that means they've got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of high-end talent. Now, we know all the names that we can reel through that are in that age bracket with Kelly, Taranto, Hopper, Taylor, Himmelberg. We keep going. And then they've got 5 or 6, like, young guns, like Finn Callahan, Tom Green. You know, we're Lockie Ash. We're talking top 5 draft picks. I think there's plenty there. They've got a gun. Bruce is now showing himself to be...
They haven't got a forward line, and their back line's a real worry.
Their back line's not really. I mean, we just haven't seen the best of their back line. Nick Haynes has been down this year on form.
Yeah.
Lockie Whitfield's been horribly
Taylor's
out of form.
Plateaued to a point.
Sam Taylor, I mean, he's still got the potential to be a superstar. Jack Buckley was doing a great job last year until he got injured. Connor Iden's been a star. Isaac Cummings, underrated. He's a very good player.
So
they actually do have a pretty talented backline. I just think they needed to evolve their system. That was part of my criticism of Leon Cameron. They've got a midfield that's stacked. And you're right, they are missing a little bit in their forward line.
I can't believe they let Jeremy Cameron go when it was sort of coming down and him throwing the kitchen sink at him to keep him or not.
Mm.
If I was a coach now and Jeremy Cameron was there, that'd be almost the thing that got you across the line.
The problem is they got nothing for him. That's been their big issue, and I agree with Joey, actually. I still think there's a lot of talent on the list, but their big issue is some of the big-name players that they've lost over the years, they haven't got anything back for them.
They've got kids
again.
They've got more talented kids again.
Joey, I mentioned before the conditioning word, and there is an element of that with the James Hurd situation. There's an element of it with what's going on with Dusty Martin at Richmond. Peggy O'Neill spoke quite recently about how she'd had a conversation, and she said recently, now there was not, whether it was last week recent or 6 months ago recent, but she'd said that Dusty had said to her that he will serve out his 2 years remaining, but he might change his mind, or people can change their mind. Then we saw yesterday Damien Hardwick, out of nowhere, effectively say he could, with his blessing, go to Sydney should he want to. I mean, there's something going on in that situation, and it is, I think, linked to the 6 weeks Dusty had off, and what sort of conversations were required to get him back to play. The two games he's had back days have been typically Dusty and probably Brownlow getting in the second of the two when he kicked the three goals last week. And there's a conversation clearly being had of sorts that could have him in Sydney next year.
This is interesting. This is interesting.
It is. Well, the word was that he spent a large portion of that 6 weeks up in Sydney. And sort of the ability to go unnoticed up there. We know Buddy Franklin, who was a super megastar down here. Yes, he got chased by the paparazzi, but most people, he could wander down the street and wouldn't give a stuff who he is. So I'm sure there's probably some sort of element of that. Because Dusty, at the minute, he goes anywhere, everyone sees him, everyone stops him. And no doubt after you get to a point in time where that becomes, you know, too much.
Tiring.
And, yeah, it certainly does. And when you are getting to the latter stage of your career and you can see what Buddy's done and gone up there, still playing unbelievable footy, but also living a life away from the game, I think it's a great prospect.
The money's attached to what remains on his contract. And again, we never know specifically, but the mail is that it's $1.2 million for both 2023 and 2024. And he's worth every cent. I mean, his former self is not dissipating on that front, Duck. So that needs to be factored in. Franklin's money stops. And I can just see a packed SCG with Buddy and Dusty in the same forward line. Can you just imagine it?
And if the Swans are going to be in that window, which we think they will be for a couple of years.
What would Buddy drop to, though? So this is his last year of the big contract.
He's still on good money now, because the way it was structured,
it was back ended.
Yeah.
So what would Buddy, given that he's still the superstar that he is, and he's still a big draw card for that football club, what would he be prepared to drop to get Dusty in the doors?
It depends how desperate Franklin wants to win another premiership and go out with another flag, or whether he's still playing to get a huge payday. He could drop down to 600,000.
Yeah, that was the number I was going
to. I'm prepared to free up some money for.
That's the question.
And you get to the part of your career where you can be paid half, is it? The old.
No, that doesn't work anymore. I mean, look, there
maybe
might be
the best list analyzer job.
No, but I mean, you're right.
That was a thing for a while, wasn't it?
Second.
The older players could be paid half of their.
There was a veterans allowance. That was about 10 years ago.
Went out with Abba, that.
Well, he won't be getting that then.
But yeah, there's other ways that he can make some money, Buddy. He's got no issues making money, I wouldn't have thought.
Again, as the Herd situation is, this Dusty conversation is, at the very least, and if it's all it is, it's intriguing.
It is intriguing. I think I
tend not to listen to rumour and innuendo, and I've got mates ringing me saying, yeah, he's going to Sydney, that, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And the thing that pricked my ears for the first time, because I don't generally listen to it, is the fact that Dimmer had to, or felt that he had to address it and gave him his blessing. That tells me there's a little bit more bubbling on behind the scenes.
And I know one thing we do know, Damo, we're not going to hear from Dusty to find out whether he's a chance.
Well, you might. You're close with him as far as I know.
I haven't seen Dusty speaking for ages.
I might run into him up in Steak and Kidney.
What about, speaking of big contracts, James Sicily?
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, we've seen some criticism and some critiquing of what Collingwood's done with both Brody Grundy and Darcy Moore, and is it right to give someone that length of term? And you've got a guy now who's 27 already, has done a knee, and playing well, by the way. He's probably in all Australian conversations, but how's that deal going to look in 5 years' time? None of us know, and we can only have this conversation in 5 years' time.
He's an ex-captain, that's a long time. Why.
Yeah. Yep. He's an ex-captain, but I mean, they've moved captains, ex-captains out of that club in Hodge and Mitchell.
The position he plays, I always said, Grundy, you don't give a ruckman that amount of time when they've already put in a heap of work prior to that.
It's an halfback's okay.
Yeah, but I think at 100%, I think Sicily, I would have no problem giving him what he wanted, given he was going to be a free agent.
Yeah, and just wanted to also raise the topic. I mean, you've all, to a degree, and some worse than others, experienced football clubs at their lowest ebbs, at least of certain periods and phases. I raise it because of what's going on at Essendon, North Melbourne, West Coast, even GWS to a point from a playing perspective. How low does it get? And when you're immersed in those times, and you've had it days, probably most recently, do you feel at some stage there's no way out when it's all against you?
Well, you do. And the weird thing is that everyone looks at Essendon and the effort they put out on the weekend. I can categorically say that they'd be training harder than a lot of the teams who are higher than them on the ladder. At the Blues, we'd go in, we'd be mouth guards in, you'd rip in, you'd get flogged, you know, and you'd train your backsides off. You go out on the weekend, didn't fire a shot. So that's the tough thing, because you feel like you're all the process, which the good teams do and everyone speaks about it. You got to do this, you got to prepare in this manner. You go out and do that, but you're just so void of confidence that the ball seems to bounce that way, or you second guess something, and then it just spirals out of control. We saw that on the weekend with the Bombers. I tell you what I did like. Dyson Heppel fronting up to on the couch on Monday night, I think it was. Look, whatever you think about how the football club's going, it takes a big set of knackers to front up. You could have easily gone, oh, no, not this week. You know, what's happened? Send the coach in. As the captain, he rolled in, took responsibility, backed himself and his players to work their way out of it, didn't shirk the issue. They came for him on that show. Their questions weren't fluffy at all. They came for him. They questioned whether or not he should have been shaking all the hands of the people up there. I thought that was brilliant. The worst thing is, though, that it's a long road out and there's no quick fix.
I'll ask Duck in the Daisy Duck Dive his thought. But for me, when everyone's coming at you as a footy club, the players, they have to stick fat. The players have to stick together because that's all you've got, really, when you're in a footy club. So I'm hoping that those players internally don't start to fracture and start talking about, you know, when you start potting other blokes and he's not... You've got to stick fat. It's the only way you get through it. And otherwise, it can get very ugly.
And that's somewhat comes back to then the coach holding the values and the accountability then in selection. Because as soon as the selection doesn't hold the value that it should have, and I think we've seen a little bit of that with Dil Shiel and then people getting a little bit prickly as to how he's going about it, the coach is the one who can set a real standard.
That leads me to the Daisy Duck Dive, which we'll get up to next. I'll ask Wayne Carey the first one about the Bombers. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. It's now time for our favourite segment.
On the Midweek Rub.
Absolutely outstanding by me.
I'm good from the waist down.
It's the Daisy Duck Dive.
This is where I hit Daisy and Duck with some questions that they haven't heard. They've got to give me their first thoughts, get off the fence, give us a strong answer. I'm going to start with you, Duck. We're just talking about the Bombers and some clubs under siege earlier. If you were captain of Essendon this week, what would you do? What would you do with the playing group? Or how would you handle this week as captain?
How? Oh, well, I think you've just got to get around to the other players. And I agree with what we said earlier in this program. And sometimes you can try too hard. But the bare minimum is just to do the basics really well. And I guess if you lead the way in that area, and that is just to do the basics. You know what? I don't expect you to kick two or three. No one here has to be best on ground. Or we don't even have to get the win. But let's make sure our effort is at an optimum level. And it's just reinforcing that during the week. And then obviously on game day and whatever the coach comes up with, you strongly reinforce that. Because like I said, if the messaging is just a little bit different from one to the other, then I think that's where you get fractures. So keep it simple and go out and head down, bum up.
If you're in the leadership group, Daze, how would you handle this week?
Yeah, well, that's the toughest thing to do is to make sure that you find the balance between not going away from and disregarding the weekend's performance because it hasn't been a one-off, but also then figuring out a way to inspire the group to bring a better effort. And I think that's the one thing that I'd be driving home is just the effort. The one thing you can control every time you rock up to the club for the till we play and whenever it is or on game day is your effort. You roll out with a real intent to go ball and or man when it's your turn to go. You know, we have everyone doing that. We're going to be a hell of a lot better off. Yes, it doesn't guarantee you a win, but I can guarantee you the people watching in the stands will be able to see it.
Leon Cameron's last game last weekend. The Giants are now 2-7. Of course, Mark McVay takes over. What would you like to see from Mark McVay for the remainder of this year with this group?
Try something.
Just something?
Try something. So put his spin on a game plan that he has been under with Leon Cameron and say, you know what? And I know people, you need the whole preseason, you need that. I've never been a believer of players needing a long time to get a game plan. I think it's an excuse sometimes. You know, we need synergy, we need time together and all of that. I think come put your own spin on it. Let's see what you can do as an – he might be the right man. What if he coaches – he socks off and gets 10 wins in the last whatever game.
We've seen that happen before, haven't we, Daisy?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to say. So
the spike train.
So why not?
Yeah, I'd love to just be able to go to the football and watch the Giants or watch it on telly and be able to clearly see what they're standing for. I think the thing is so far in, we don't really know. You see it when they win a little bit, but then from week to week, there's no consistency. Freo lose on the weekend, but you can still see what they're trying to do. You know what their brand is. I don't think we know what GWS's brand is.
What about what will be the narrative if, and we'll get to the games after this, but if Port Adelaide beat Geelong, and we think Geelong will win, but if Port Adelaide do win, they'll be on the same amount of wins as the Cats, who people are still talking as a premiership threat. Port Adelaide were going to, you know, sack the coach earlier in the year. What's the narrative going to be besides duck strutting in with a massive, biggest struck?
Well, that'll happen anyway if they lose. But
he said at Zip and Five that they are a team that could go on a hot streak.
Yeah.
What would the narrative be that Port Adelaide become a threat in the competition?
Yeah, well, I think it'd be double-edged, wouldn't it? I think everyone would say Port Adelaide are back and they're a chance and the Cats are done. Yeah. That's exactly what would be said. But I don't subscribe to that, by the way. I think the Cats best is still good enough to beat anyone. Unfortunately for them now, they're not playing their best. They're not as consistent. The one thing I've seen from them this year to all the other years gone by, except for they missed the finals once, didn't they?
In that period.
The inconsistencies within a game and also from week to week. I haven't been able to say that for a long time about this group.
And I'm going to follow on then. I've just thought, are you concerned at all about Patrick Dangerfield? His form this year. So round one, he was dominant and we heard he was fit all preseason. Then we know he had, I believe it was a cork and then it got re-corked and he had the week off. But his form's been, we're now 9 rounds in. We've seen nowhere near Dangerfield's best. Are you confident that if Geelong are to make a move, Dangerfield can find his best? Or are we now starting to think maybe we just need to slightly lower our expectations on Dangerfield?
This has always been my concern about the Cats, so if Dangerfield doesn't get back to somewhere near his best, the Cats can't win it. I think that's why, and I think if Hawkins isn't anywhere near his best, they can't win it. They still rely on their older players to be their best players, and I've said this week after week after week. So that's a concern for me, full stop. Is it the end of Paddy? I don't think so. I'd love to really delve in and find out exactly what is going on and whether he is 100% or, you know, what the situation is. And I think, you know, you wrote off Paddy Cripps about 15 times over 2 years and have a look at him now. So I'm not prepared to write off a champion just yet.
I think the Port Adelaide one, everyone will start to really start believing. Like 5-5 this week, play Essendon next week. It's a pretty good prospect for them. Paddy Dangerfield, I don't think he's done by any stretch. It's so hard, the modern game, we've seen it, and the example you gave is case in point, that Paddy Cripps busted up. If you go out there at 80%, it's harder than when we used to play at 80%. You could kick it in from fullback 30 times. He still relies on being a real grunt, hard at it player with his explosive pace. You take a little bit of that away from any player, you sort of come back to the pack pretty quickly.
And that's the problem with Paddy. Paddy just, he plays in a manner that not too many do.
What about then, we talk about the Cats. What about, who's your third seed right now? If we all agree Melbourne and Brisbane are the top two, who's the third seed? Because there's between Fremantle, St Kilda, maybe still Geelong, Richmond are coming. There's Carlton and Sydney.
If the Blues beat Sydney this weekend, I'll say the Blues
are the third seed.
I think Port Adelaide are the third seed.
Really?
Yep.
Still think Port are coming. Damo, you ever thought any third seed?
I haven't lost too much faith at all in the Swans, win or lose on the weekend. I just still think their best is right up there. And if they
the Swans played not even a VFL team last week. I don't think you can look into what they did last week. Look into what they've done over the last 3 weeks. So that, for me, I love the Swans. Their best is good enough. But just put a line through last week, because we saw a side that did not apply one ounce of pressure.
When do we start buying the Blues? I know we sort of got a little bit caught up in the hype.
I've bought them. Yeah, I'm all in. Well, 7-2, that's enough.
But in terms of they'd be really poor if they didn't make finals this year. So they're playing finals, but when do we start to believe that they can make a genuine tilt at it?
I think they can play a prelim. I absolutely think they can play in a prelim. Yeah, right now.
And if if you get to a prelim,
all you got to do is get to a prelim. And then you never know what could happen in a prelim, as we all know. What happens in prelim
finals? I just still
think
a little bit of the commentary is, and probably my thoughts as much as anyone's, is that at some point they're going to gas it. They'll do a Carlton.
What I do like about what they've done the last, 3 weeks, I even go back to the Port Adelaide game where they were 50 points up and then they let Port Adelaide, Port Adelaide just started playing better footy as well. But they still found a way. You know what I mean? They still found, and I think they did that on the weekend when they were challenged. Yeah. All of a sudden, Curnow's couple of...
Silvani did some nice stuff.
Yep. And then bang, bang, bang. And they're able to kick away and have a good win. I think that would give them a lot of confidence.
And what people are surprised, they are missing like 7 or 8 of their best 22. Like Pitnett's so important, McGovern and backline, they've got players. They're missing.
Are they coming back though?
McGovern's
a long way away.
And McKay's another 4 minimum away?
That could be quicker. But so they are getting a few of those back.
Slowly. Pitnett's still a while away. Zach Williams is going to be a fair bit of
a long time now. If at all he comes back this year.
Interesting. Hey, last one. It is Sir Doug Nicholls' round this weekend, Indigenous round, one of our favourite rounds of the year. So it brings me to ask you boys for two parts. Your current favourite Indigenous player and your favourite Indigenous player of all time. Daisy, you can go first.
Current player, Cozzy Pickett.
Your favourite player, Cozzy?
I think probably because I've seen Melbourne a fair bit live, but his ability just to, he's got the Cyril factor.
Yep.
He goes through a stoppage, comes out the other side, somehow extricates the ball, kicks a goal, and you just go, how'd that happen? You watch it on the replay and you're still impressed. Favourite player of all time, Leon Davis. I got a front row seat to him kicking inside out bananas, torps from anywhere.
What skill player you played with?
Yeah, him and Alan Didak, but obviously for an Indigenous round. The skills and the way that he could make the ball talk and then be able to teach you as well, Leon Davis.
Damo?
For the past 3 years, it's been Liam Ryan, but because of what's happened to West Coast this year, I've dropped him.
Jeez.
And I've elevated Charlie Cameron and the Harley celebrations. And as a North supporter growing up, I know there was a better cracker than the one I'm going to put in here, but Phil Cracker was my favourite at the time, and I still love what he brought to the game and did it differently to Jimmy. Jimmy was a far better player overall, wasn't he, I think? But I just love the skill set of Phil and what he did for North at that time.
Shea Bolton, right now, I think one of the most exciting players in the game.
Yep.
I love what he does. He's electricity. He goes near the ball. He just makes things happen. So I love watching him. Of all time, well, I played with Rock and Ronnie Burns for a couple of years at the Crows, so I love Rock and Ronnie. But I think the best was Andrew McLeod. I think you know he took a grand final off us in '98, and was lucky enough to play with him for a couple of years as well. He was just an unbelievable player.
Joey, yours?
I'd have to say Buddy. Bud's still my favourite to watch. Yeah. It's just every time the ball goes in his vicinity, you're glued to see what Buddy does. And I'm with you, Duck. Growing up as a kid, Andrew McLeod was one of my favourite players. I thought if I could ever play AFL, I'd love to play like Andrew McLeod. Wouldn't that be nice to run around like he did? But very, very good, and we're very blessed to have so many talented Indigenous players playing our game. Hey, up next, we're going to take a look at the weekend's action and also hold ourselves accountable how we went last week with our certainty and our bit of a smoky for the round. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
You watch me today. This will be one of my best performances.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, and as we like to do, we take a look back at last week. We asked you to give us a certainty of the round and a bit of a smoky. Damo, we're just going to start with you.
Do we have to?
Yeah,
do
we always to? Like it, Damo.
It wasn't a strong week for me, Joe.
Hold ourselves accountable here. Let's take a listen to how you went.
I'm going to go with Fremantle to beat Gold Coast as my certainty. And it's not as certain as you'd think, actually. The Suns are a chance. I just love what the Dockers are doing, and I reckon they're a better system than the Suns.
No good. The Quinella, of course, and also Collingwood. You thought they were a bit of a smoky. Jeez,
I did.
Got nowhere near that.
No,
one.
I didn't. So apologies to you three and our listeners.
Nought from two. You brought us down, but lucky this man, he always brings us up, the Oracle.
And I'll have my smoky that St Kilda will beat Geelong.
Ooh, will beat Geelong.
That's a good tip.
You know what else was a good tip? And I'm not sure if we have the audio for this, but at the first show we did of this at the start of the season, we discussed who might be the first coach under any sort of pressure. I can't remember what I said.
Other than Stewie Jew, because we've spoken a lot about him and Clarker, which other coach do you think will be under the most pressure this season?
I think Leon Cameron. I think if the Giants don't make finals, he's
five seasons they've won finals under his watch.
Yep. And how's the trophy cabinet going up there?
Gee whiz.
Oh. Yeah, well, I didn't like the trophy cabinet thing because, you know, there's 17 coaches every year that don't have a trophy in it. Yeah.
They came at you, they did. They're very hard to get.
Oh, they're very hard to, I'm not doubting that, but.
And you've officially entered the media world too by bringing down coaches. There you go.
Well, that's my second scalp.
And then Duck, let's take a listen. How did you go with your tips last week? You're a very good tipper, Duck.
Yeah. My Tigers will beat the Hawks.
They're now your certainty. You went with the Tigers.
I'll give you a certainty.
Give me a certainty. You gave me Richmond.
Yeah, you're done.
Okay, another one.
No, I have to go.
Sydney will beat Essendon.
Yeah,
that's
the one I like.
Michael and I are very similar wavelength.
You went out on a limb there. Richmond to beat Hawthorn and Sydney to beat Essendon. Boy,
hang on.
Can't
wait. Did you tip both of those?
Yes.
You didn't say they were your certainties, though, did you?
No, I think I did the Bulldogs to beat Collingwood, yes, by the way, as my certainty. Jill, didn't I? I didn't get audio for that one.
You might have had Hawks as your smoky to beat Richmond.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, they were no good. Hey, let's take a look at this week because there is plenty of good games of footy. So we will get, again, your certainty and a smoky. But I want to start with the Carlton-Sydney game because that is the blockbuster Friday night Marvel Stadium. Really, it's toss of the coin. But how do you see this one panning out?
I'm intrigued by it, to be completely honest. I think we find out a lot probably about both sides. The Swans, I think we probably have a higher opinion of. And the Blues, this, I think, for me, will definitely solidify if they are the real deal. Because, as I say, I don't know what it is in my head. Maybe because I spent so much time there and we were down the bottom and we had a tendency to gas games once we got on a bit of a roll. But at the moment, they've been unbelievable. Michael Voss has brought Michael Voss to that football club in terms of they're hard, they're tough, they're relentless, and they go on and win games now. It's brilliant. I'm going to tip the Swans, though.
Carlton.
You're tipping the Swans.
After all that.
Carlton, my certainties.
Oh, Carlton, your certainty.
I love this. I like that.
Certainties. Yeah.
Record that audio, Jill. Yep.
Good boy.
I'll tell you why. Because I saw Sydney, obviously, last week. If they come into that game thinking they can play like that against Carlton, they will get beat.
Mm. Oh, you're taking the easy performance last week.
And coming through the corridor. They like I said, the amount of uncontested marks through the corridor, Carlton won't give them that. So the Blues.
I do like the Blues too, Dame.
I'm going for the Swans, but you said it's a toss of the coin. It actually is when it comes to the bookmakers' charts.
I think the Blues, they're bigger in the midfield. They're big and tough in the midfield. They might just dominate in there. And if Wiedering can put Franklin to sleep, well, then I think maybe the Blues go a long way to winning. But, Duck, you can go first because you always like to get the first pick. Who's your certainty of the round? And who's your smoky?
Did. Carlton.
Oh, sorry, you did Carlton, of course. What about your smoky? Who can cause an upset?
Gold Coast can cause an upset against Western Bulldogs.
Down in Ballarat?
Yep.
I'm going for the same upset potential in Gold Coast to beat the Bulldogs. I'm still tipping the Bulldogs, Joey, but that's the upset one. There's certainly, I'm going to go with the Cats against Port Adelaide down there at the Cattery on Saturday. I know they're favourites, but I'm going to make them the certainties.
The conditions might suit Gold Coast down at Ballarat. They do play sort of pretty good footy in those sort of ordinary conditions. Mm. It's going to be cold, though. Gold Coast, it's going to be cold.
Up in the Gold Coast, it's still wet, but it's warm.
Oh, yeah. Duck, what's your theory on that? When Gold Coast have to go to Ballarat from the warm weather to the cold weather?
I've got against my normal theory because it's going to be very fresh down there. But I just think they're playing really good footy. And last week's conditions were, pretty poor up there. So I just think they might be able to back it up.
It's good.
There are a few games here.
I give Essendon a chance. This could be the silliest thing I've ever said, but if they don't respond this week, and Richmond have sort of steadied the ship a little bit, but they're still no world beaters. Like, they're not the Tigers of old. They're getting there. But I think at the moment that...
Go on, say it. Say it with conviction.
I'm going to tip Essendon as my smoky.
Okay.
Adelaide, St Kilda.
That's a good one.
Adelaide, any chance?
Adelaide, they played pretty good footy last week against the Brisbane Lions. I did that game. They were just outclassed. Brisbane are just better. Mm. But they had a crack. They competed.
They led half time, didn't they?
Yeah, quarter time, they were well in front. The coach, he's holding them accountable, dropping Matt Crouch. He's dropped Riley O'Brien.
Best and fairest winners of those clubs.
Yeah, so I don't mind what the Crows are doing. So St Kilda have got to be on their game. They've got to can't have that little letdown from the big win against Geelong. But I think Fremantle will bounce back against Collingwood back at home. I think Freo will win. And is there a chance the Hawks, I don't know why I keep having faith in Hawthorn, but in Tassie against Brisbane, they lost last year, Brisbane going to Tassie. A little bit of your theory, Duck. Brisbane Lions going down to Tassie. Maybe the Hawks, if they can find that sort of mojo again, they might challenge Brisbane. That's a bit of my smoky, but a bit of an outside chance.
I haven't given you my certainty. That'll be the GWS Giants. To beat West Coast.
To beat the West Coast Eagles.
Just for people that the reason for that cold weather thing, because up the Gold Coast, what do you have? I have polar bears.
Yeah.
And down here we have lions at the Werribee Zoo, and it should be the other way around. That's my theory.
It might be time to wrap this show up.
It might be time. It isn't that. Hey,
Duck's going to get on the plane.
Duck, you're going to get on the plane. You're up and about. Enjoy Sydney.
Will you be back by next week?
Just be responsible. Duck.
Will you be back by Saturday for the Saturday rub?
You know what? Come on, stop with these shenanigans.
Why?
Why?
I will see you in a couple of days.
He's going up there for business.
Yes,
this has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Of course, it's exclusive on the Listener app also. Don't forget, you can listen to every game across Round 10 this weekend on Triple M and the Listener app, starting with a Friday night huddle with Das, Chief, Howie, Nath Brown, Damo, ahead of Carlton v Sydney. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it all again next week.
shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.